What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. You have the famous Mike Bacsik. You have the even more famous Alec Medford. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Two things I noticed. One, Kevin decided not to go with the tiny headphones this morning. He decided to jump in straight to the regular size headphones. And you yawned right before the segment started, Kevin. Wow. What is going on, dude? Do you need some caffeine? What's happening here?
What happened, baby Noah?
I don't know if this impacts anybody else, but when I have something to do like immediately after work that is not fun.
It wears you out.
Yeah, it kind of does. So I have an ENT appointment right after this.
Oh, they're going to shove all sorts of things inside
And
of
I'm
you.
Like, oh, great. Your nose. More fun things.
Yeah?
Yay.
Sorry about that, man.
That's okay.
I just thought like you, the Dion news last night, like really, like your whole, you couldn't sleep. You were so excited. I can't wait to get on air tomorrow.
I wouldn't say that, but that actually does lead into our first topic of a conversation. The candidates, both realistic and nonsensical, to be the Cowboys' next head coach. Obviously, the headline last night was, hey, the Cowboys talked to Dion about this. And then Dion's like, hey, I appreciate they called, but I love Colorado, without specifically saying, so I'm not going to leave, which I thought was very smart. On his part, do you look at, I'm serious.
It's very smart on any college coach's part to not acknowledge it as much because of why?
The recruiting.
Yes. Like that's very smart to just, because otherwise you're like, hey man, you were leaving?
So I'm asking y'all, I'm asking our Tolos, Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053 or the Twitch or the YouTube. Do you view, I'm not doing a bit. Do you view Deion Sanders as an actual candidate for this job? Or do you think it's a fun thing that Jerry is doing to get people, and maybe Deion's doing, to get people riled up?
It's the first name that we heard, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not taking it as seriously, because it's the first one. Was McCarthy the first name we heard? Was whenever, I don't think
and
so.
And I don't remember.
But it was the first one that we heard of real interest. But it also was the one that every time you brought it up during the season or when Mike brought it up initially, it created the most controversy. And that's why I think right now it's the distraction from the other story, and that is Mike McCarthy leaving. Let's move on from that story as quickly as we can and get people involved in another story. Government does this all the time. Media does this all the time.
True.
Move away from it. Give them something else so that they're not talking about that. And whether or not it's real, hell, Dion knows how to play the game, too. Jerry
can
call Dion up and say, hey, man, we're going to throw this out into the mix. You do your thing. I do my thing. Both of us get some pub out of this. And Dion goes, thumbs up. But I don't think it's a reality. There are a lot of hurdles to overcome. Yesterday, Mike, we had the discussion. I told Kevin, he's right. That's why I'm not arguing with that. I don't think Dion's playing coach. Whenever he's on the field, whenever he's talking to his men in the room and in the video room, he is talking to them as a real coach. But I think Mike is dead on when he says, but he's only coached his kids. That's where his passion is. And there's another thing that comes along with that. You have to get his kid in order to continue having him around.
What do you think about this? Like, I get all the hoopla for it, but do you think this is a real thing or not?
Yes, but not a large possibility. Like, okay. On the probability of 10 being, dude, I think he's going to be the next coach. One being, this is just a publicity stunt and nothing else, I would give it a 3.
Okay.
So if that's the probability scale, I would say not highly probable, but not impossible.
Okay.
And like there's nothing to it. I do think this, like to Corey's point, to add on to it, is Deion is the biggest name available. If Bill Belichick was available, I do think maybe the Cowboys would be floating that out a hair here too. But because he's at North Carolina, that's kind of not being floated out, if that makes sense. Because
whether it's
Gruden, whether it's Ben Johnson, whether it's Kellen Moore, those don't really do anything nationally or publicly to have the Deion stuff right now on ESPN. The Deion stuff right now to begin our show
is
Deion creates the major headline to push you away, like you guys said, from Mike McCarthy. Belichick would do that too, but he signed with North Carolina.
Do you think Belichick is, I mean, because you're in a position where you could just buy him out. Same thing with Deion Sanders. Do you think Belichick is just in a position where he's like, hey, guys, I got to at least coach some? Because I talk so much about how much I'm excited to go to North Carolina. I can't bail before a season would even start. Like, if the Cowboys were interested.
No, I don't think he's like that, Kevin, because I've seen him do it before.
Okay.
He did it with the Jets.
With the Jets. That's true.
Press conference, and he's like, see you later. Like, so no, he did a press conference with him and left. Would the fit with the Cowboys be the right fit? And, you know, the more conversation, Belichick said, I am more interested in letting somebody else do the GM role than I was when I was with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And he's shown that by what he did at UNC. But the discussion that we hear from other people is, hey, man, Steven, Will, they wouldn't like Bill Belichick coming in and trying to take all that control from them.
So the breakdown I see immediately is there are a lot of people who think it's for show, but there's a lot of people who think it's for show on both sides.
Yes.
And then there are other people, which this is actually a really good point, saying that it's the Cowboys satisfying the Rooney Rule. Or at least half of the Rooney Rule.
In the biggest way possible.
Yeah.
Like that's the biggest way possible is be like, Deion Sanders, guys.
Yeah.
He played in the league. I mean, all these things that go along with it. He was a credible guy that we called, too.
And look, I would love for this to be a situation where they're like, oh, that's right. We're talking to Deion Sanders, Marcus Freeman. We're talking to every candidate imaginable.
Yes.
But I think... I'll just tell you what I think. I'm not going to add. I'll just tell you what I think, and you can agree, disagree. In my heart of hearts, I know that it's Mike Zimmer or Kellen Moore or somebody who's convenient or right there. Like, we can search through ever. What I think is going to happen is that. And that's why it feels kind of like a maddening smash your head up against the wall task of like, I would love this guy. Oh yeah. What about this guy? What about this guy? And you're like, well, Kellen Moore was here before. We'll bring him back.
Yeah. Oh man. We know this guy. We're comfortable with him. Dak's comfortable with him. The offense knows him pretty well too. Like we can work along with something like that.
This is already my favorite text of the day talking about Belichick from the 214. Dude got a 23-year-old girlfriend. Anything is on the table. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
You said the thing though too though is that's where I sit is if you're gonna do this coaching search, if you're gonna do it, if you're really going to do it, do it the way that Chris Young did it. Go get the best. Go find who's the best one and then win that championship. Then you can go give the middle finger to everybody. Like the way you've done it so far has been, we're going to give everybody the middle finger with no purpose behind it other than we're the richest franchise in the entire world. But if you're going to do it, go get the best that you possibly can because they know what they're doing. Bochy knew what he was doing. We won a damn World Series.
And
do the right thing. Really look into it.
It was just a few days ago, and I know we've made reference to this several times. I just view Chris Young and Jerry Jones so, so different.
Yes.
When Chris Young was on Foul Territory, and he goes, yeah, that's on me.
When Jerry does that, It's because we pushed him to do it.
Yeah. And I feel like Chris Young was like, no, no, I'm going to get ahead at this. We failed because of me. We failed because I didn't take into account all the fatigue left over from the 2023 World Series run. And I didn't manage the roster appropriately. That's on me. That's my fault. And that right there.
That's a lesson he learned, I think.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Chris Young goes, you know what? I probably won't do that again. If we win the World Series, I'll be making some different additions to this roster.
And so I think Chris Young is like, I'll take fault for that and do something about it. I think Jerry sits back and says, we're the Cowboys. We're the best. The best will come to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's just not the way it works. It's just not the way it works.
And that's, Kevin, that's why anymore. I said, you asked me, and I said, if I'm going to do
sure.
this. Because I believe that if you're going to do it with the best.
And I was sad by your answer. It's a good answer, but I was sad because I immediately was like, he's not going to do that.
How many times will Jerry Jones bring up the Henry Ford analogy?
Sure.
I may not know all the answers, but I'll pick up the phone because...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Because I pay the best people at what they do to do their jobs.
See, but doesn't it seem like he's like, make sure you still give me the credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But that's what also I don't necessarily always believe that he did hire the best people for it whenever you're bringing in Jason Garrett and giving him that time to grow under your watch, whenever you're getting, you know, Dave Campo under the process.
It's tough because comparing both of them, when Corey asked the question about being embarrassed, Jerry just jumped down your throat.
Yep.
Nobody asked Chris Young last year in September. He said, this is embarrassing. Embarrassing for me.
Yes.
Embarrassing for our staff. Embarrassing for our players. We are embarrassed about the championship we failed to even come close to defending. And then you see in the offseason so far, like, yeah, I'm begging them to get Kirby Yates back or get a closer. But they're like, we have a fastball issue, and they're trying to fix that by adding two premium fastball hitting guys to their everyday lineup. I like Nate Lowe, but they kind of pushed him out. They're like, if we're going to do this, we also have to get rid of guys that struggle against fastballs. And so he said, I'm going to try my best to fix this problem. And you can look at this offseason, and a lot of people around baseball say, hey, it looks like the Rangers fixed a lot of their problems. They have one left that they need to fix. Jerry then lies to the public and says we're all in and does absolutely nothing. Yep. And so we see him as a liar. Whether you like it or not, most Cowboy fans see Jerry Jones as a fake salesman. He's unbelievable at selling tickets. He's the greatest owner in sports history when it comes to making money. But I think most Cowboy fans see him as a liar now. And he's trying to beat that. He's trying to maybe change that. I don't even know if he's really trying. But I think most people now, we took the phone calls. We saw what happened publicly last night, media-wise.
Yes.
Everybody sees Jerry Jones as a joke at this point, and I don't know how he changes that.
And that's the frustrating thing about this right now. This should be exciting for Cowboys fans. All right, it wasn't good enough. We're going to go get better, right? This should be an exciting time for you as a Cowboys fan.
That's true.
Whenever Chris Young took over, I got excited because, Mike, you were like, this dude's a genius. He knows baseball. He's connected. He should have been the commissioner. Or was it the commissioner of the league?
There was an article on USA Today that he could be the future commissioner of baseball.
Like, yeah. That was exciting because I thought this is going to go in a new direction. John Daniels had this thing built the way it was, and he had a lot of power in that room, and he had a lot of say, but it wasn't going back to the World Series. This is exciting. Then what does he do? I'm bringing in Bruce Bochy. Holy S. This is even more exciting. Can this man that retired come back and do the same magical thing that he did with his teams before? It looks like every other year he might be able to. And so, like, this should be an exciting time for Cowboys fans. And that's frustrating that Cowboys fans are more timid and scared about this situation, or apathetic, which was the word that we kept using all offseason last year, rolling into it. 2 years ago, Kevin, the Cowboys team was exciting, but it was very much, but what are they going to do in the playoffs? That they bombed. And the rest of the offseason, the season, it was frustrating. I wish Cowboys fans could be excited right now. And if you are excited, text in. If you're excited about this coaching search and this next part of it and this next phase of it.
I want to know that too, for sure.
Because there's probably a large group out there that's like, you know what, I am excited, but everybody else is down on this right now. And I got to feel that way too. There are probably a bunch of them that way too. But there are a lot of fans that are just like, I just don't know if they're going to make the right choice. And that's up to Jerry and Steven and Will and that group to make that happen.
And if you needed more sadness, if you missed the news yesterday, the Rangers aren't getting Roky Sasaki. So
I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry about
that. I understand that would have been a very fun thing. That was Roky's decision. I don't think it was anything.
I can't believe the Dodgers are one of the final three.
Can you believe that, Mike?
So shocking.
So wild.
I'm so shocked.
I wonder why.
The Blue Jays are always. The Blue Jays, to me, have kind of become. Remember the Rangers of the 90s and early 2000s? The Rangers are in the final for Randy Johnson, for Roger Clemens, for all of these guys. And then they never chose the Rangers.
Yep.
I feel like the Blue Jays are the team that's always in the finalists, but never close the deal.
Always totally the bridesmaid. Never. So,
I don't know. I'm just going to guess the Dodgers, but I'm sure it's a long shot.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike will ask all the football questions.
Like, scale of 1 to 10, how much does Jerry care about winning next?
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down.
Scoop.
Scooped up. Jerry Burst has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5.
Touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop and score.
The Rams throttle the Vikings last night in the final wild card playoff game, 27-9. And if that Vikings fan is out there and wants to apologize, we are here and we are listening. We'll try to make you feel better as well.
Apologize.
But right now, it's time for Mike to ask all the football questions.
All right. So the first one, obviously the first three or so will be Dallas Cowboy questions. When I look at Jerry Jones, I'm not going to answer this question, but the kind of the question is here for you, Tolos, and you can text in, you can get on YouTube and just put your number down. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being maybe kind of the Michael Jordan or Patrick Mahomes of, like, I know they're players or were players. Winning is everything and losing. I want to kill myself.
Sure.
Like, I wanted to kill myself when it came to losing. And did I ever strongly consider doing it? No, but I couldn't sleep at night. You know, it kept me up. It was more motivating in a loss, like as in, like, I have to figure this out, or why not? Why should I even be living? That's a 10 on, like, winning is everything. And then winning means absolutely nothing. I don't care at all about winning. Kind of maybe the, in a way, the old LA Clippers owner who was doing a lot of women.
Donald
and stuff.
Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling. Where is Jerry on a scale of how much winning matters to him? 10 being it means everything, 1 being it doesn't matter at all to him.
I think he's a 3.5. I think it's great. And he would love for that to happen if it fits in with his agenda. But if it doesn't and they keep making money, then either way.
By the way, yes, I'm here. Never apologize for believing in my team. Y'all been doing the same thing for 30 years. Skull, love the show. We love you too.
I get it. Our team is not good either.
By the way, YouTube so far, the highest number is 4.
I'll put him at 5.
We didn't even make the
5 is
middle,
like,
of the pack,
right in the middle, just where the Cowboys are, middle of the pack on everything. He will say, I want it, but to do the actual work to get it, to take the big bites you need to do, don't think he's willing to do it. So I say round of five.
The highest number is four?
So far, the highest number is four on YouTube. 1, 3, 4, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2, 1. Oh, Larry just came in with an 8.
Okay.
So there is a person who thinks it's very high. Let me ask you guys this based off of that before I get into more Cowboys questions.
But that's, I know you have more questions.
Yeah.
That's really depressing.
Yeah, so far we just got a 6. So two people have been over 4 out of on the YouTube page right now.
And people are down right now on the Cowboys. Like they're down on them.
And
right now.
And publicly, like not just us, but nationally, if you're watching kind of Monday Night Football, ESPN, and you're just watching them pregame discuss this situation, or you go to YouTube and you watch all these different people from around the country that maybe have more of a national show than a public show, a show that like we're in DFW, nobody's really talking very highly about Jerry Jones. In fact, it seems like a lot of people are just feeling sorry for Mike McCarthy that he had to do this for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's where you're at now.
I'm not saying you're wrong at all. That's just really bumming me out that like, because you said it on the other side. I'm sorry if I'm throwing this off, Mike. You said it on the other side. Everybody is laughing at Jerry and somebody compared Jerry to Vince McMahon. And the thing I thought about Vince McMahon was like, that's fine. If everyone is laughing at me and they're still buying tickets, we're in the entertainment business. My concern is that Jerry's like, that's fine if everyone's laughing at me. We're in the entertainment business. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're in the winning business. But he's like, well, come take a look at my bank account and tell me I don't know what business I'm in.
Yeah, and he's figured out how to make money without winning. And it's pretty awesome. Now, let me ask you guys this about our Metroplex. Do you think there's an owner in DFW that wants to win more than Jerry?
Tom Gagliardi.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about the Adelson.
Because I'm not sure how different Jerry is. I think that Ray Davis wants to win, but is it on a scale of like 10 out of 10?
Ray
like,
Davis wanted to win the World Series 10 out of 10. And then he got the World Series because he was tired of getting his ass kicked. All right. Like he'd seen this enough. He wanted that trophy to go along with it to give his franchise credibility, to give the people something they could hang their hats on because we never had it. He did want it. I think he's probably, maybe he's about a 7 right now.
Yeah.
And based on this offseason, it feels like he's still saying, hey, let's keep trying to win. But I'm not going over the top with anything. So I think he's around a 7. And I would say Gagliardi's probably an 8. Yeah, he's done everything
eight
he can.
8 or 9,
he's done everything he can to get this team everything
he went out
need.
And said, I'm going to go try to hire my Bruce Bochy, my Chris Young. And I know they haven't won the cup yet, but you can see the moves they're making. By the way, on the fan text, the highest number I've seen so far is a 5.
Do you think Jerry understands that? Look, when I say this, it's just reality. I'm 47. I'm probably not living 47 more years. I'm more than halfway done with my life, most likely. Right around the halfway point, I hope, as long as I stay healthy and God blesses me to live kind of a longer life. Like Jerry, who's 82. Do I have his age?
Something
right?
like that.
Like he's close to death. Like he's living at most 20 more years and probably not. Do you think he understands, I guess this is my next question, I was going to go somewhere else, but do you think he understands that most people now don't think he really cares about football? That he's going to die, and most people are going to go, I think the Cowboys might have a better chance. We don't know, but do you think he gets that most of the Cowboy fans and the public believe where we're at with Jerry Jones? And his ability to care about this?
I think he hears it, and then he says to himself and people around him, they don't know what I've been through in the 30 years that I've done this thing. You know, like they think that this 1 year is what I feel like he feels that way. And so he's just like, they don't have a clue what they're talking about compared to what I've been able to accomplish over this time.
Yeah.
So this is gonna sound weird, but I'm really glad, because I don't watch a show. I heard it's good. Corey, I'm really glad that you played that Landman clip for me, because here's the perspective I'm going to throw out that I'm guessing from Jerry. And it's, I got to own the Dallas Cowboys right now for 35 years. We won 3 Super Bowls. I'm in the NFL Hall of Fame, and I got to spend all of this time working with my family. What's better than that?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid that he can be like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. My family loves me. I got to work my entire adult life or a lot of my adult life with my family. And that's what I think.
Yeah. And honestly, good for Jerry. Cowboy fans, I get it. Like, I mean, 99.9% of us don't know Jerry Jones at all. Like,
we're
lucky enough to get to talk to him on a weekly basis, but we don't really know Jerry. We don't hang out with Jerry. We don't love Jerry. Jerry doesn't love us.
We don't know the grandpa Jerry that opens the door for his grandkids when they show up.
They'll be hurt when Jerry passes, obviously. And pass on his legacy. So now I go to passing on his legacy. Stevens maybe more in charge of the Cowboys than Jerry is at this point, or at least it's 50-50 shared. Same question. How much does Stephen Jones care about winning on a scale of 1 to 10? You can now text in. Stop texting in about Jerry. Start texting in on YouTube and on our text thing. The number that Stephen
Franklin,
Jones...
Franklin Injury Attorney text line.
Thank you. That Stephen Jones cares about winning 1 to 10 scale.
And just, I agree with this person from the 817. The idea that professional sports is about winning and not about entertainment is idealistic, 100%. And that's,
I think most owners fall under, I'm just hiring people to try to win, but my goal is to make as much money. Yeah. They're all super smart. They're billionaires or close to billionaires, and they're sharing a team with other multimillionaires or billionaires. Their goal is to make money off of the product first and then to win second. Most owners.
I'm still sad that's the case, though, for the teams I love.
Right.
I would put him at a 4.5. I think it's higher, but I don't think Steven cares about all the headlines as much. I'm not saying doesn't care, but not as much.
I want to believe it's a 7. And here's why. Can you imagine being the son going to all these meetings, these other owners meetings, and everybody kind of looks at you as like, you're here because you're Jerry's kid. And I want to believe that there's some sort of like motivating factor in. I want to go ahead and put my code of honor on at some point. But
I mean, that's a fact, by the way.
But for now, it's still dad's. And I got to get him his. And then whenever it's my turn, I might do it a little differently. I want to believe that's the case because that's what Jerry wanted when he first bought the team. I got to make my mark.
Right.
I just don't know if it's any more than a 6. I don't know if it's any more than a 6.
The numbers are a lot different on this. I'm just looking at the text on this one, and I know you got the YouTube covered.
YouTube's not participating in the Stephen Jones question.
There's plenty of ones, twos, and threes, but I also see a 9. He does care. He just hasn't figured out the formula yet. A 6, 6.5, 8, a 10. So
that's optimism.
There's plenty of lower numbers to go with that too, but there are way more higher numbers than I saw for Jerry. I hardly saw any high numbers for Jerry.
All right, you guys opened my eyes on this a little bit yesterday because I'm not saying you guys aren't big fans of Will McClay, but you kind of said maybe Will McClay might be more of that Jones lifestyle than maybe Mike you want to think. How much does Will McClay care about winning?
On
a scale of 1 to 10.
I will give... I'll give him a 7 because I think like that's he is not in the same boat as them. Like, and he doesn't
have a lifetime job. Is that
right.
what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. I think
kids realizes don't have a lifetime pass down job
at any point. What was it? Did you ever
we're actually now getting a lot of tens. We're getting 8 to 10 for Will McClay.
Did you ever see Saltburn? I know there's some weird stuff in that movie, but what happens? That family, very rich family.
Yeah.
And everybody else is kind of a toy that, whenever they're done with them, they can just move on.
You can think you're in the family, but you'll be astonished how quickly you'll find out you are not.
And so I do kind of feel like he sees there could be other opportunities. He has a lot of respect. I know this for a fact. He has a lot of respect for the Jones family. He cares about them deeply. But I think that he wants to, maybe it's an 8 or 9 because he wants it for the Joneses. He wants to be able to get them that thing. I really do think he wants it that bad. I think there are a lot of things that have interfered with him trying to get his job done.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's a 7. All right. I wish it was higher, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think at some point, almost every person gets broken down to a certain degree about Club Cowboys. And you're like, damn it, I do want to win, but all this other stuff is pretty sweet too. And that's why you stay in that environment.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm going to say it's a 7, which a 7 is still high, but I don't think it's like, I will cut somebody, metaphorically, cut someone's throat to win this game. I will do whatever it takes. I don't think it's that.
Now you know what Kevin would do.
And I do think, like, and I know he's not an owner. Ray Davis is not a 10 out of 10. No, I don't know if there is an owner that's a 10 out of 10 in winning is just everything. Maybe right now Cohen in New York, because he is spending a crap ton of money, like, on a yearly basis to try to get there. I think Jerry Jones was a 10 out of 10. In 1989, Jerry Jones was a 10 out of 10 because he felt like, and maybe he was right,
I got to make
there's 20,000 empty seats on a game-to-game basis here. Yeah. We are barely getting 60% attendance to Dallas Cowboy games. I'm buying this team, and the only way that I think we can get them back in the building is by winning.
Yep.
So that was such a motivating factor to his start of his ownership of the Dallas Cowboys. But now he doesn't have to win. It's been proven you don't even have to come close to winning a Super Bowl to get the 10 out of 10 participation of the fan base.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we're going to switch it up. The Tuesday tailgate. Did we already see the national championship game? Or do you still believe in Notre Dame and the best of the bowl season? We'll do that next right on the Fan.
Pressure comes. Sawyer knocked it out and picks it up. Jack Sawyer headed down the sidelines. Ohio State scoop and score. And dagger from 82 yards.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate, so we bring in Carter Freeman. He has a very busy schedule. He said 1:20, can't make it work, guys. So we have moved it here.
Can we say happy birthday to Cora Jade real quick? Are you
what are you hoping to accomplish there?
Are you better? That was it. That was all. Happy birthday, Cora Jade. Alec was the first one to notify me of this.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Medford is a stand-up individual.
Yes.
Thanks, Corey.
All right. So a lot of people were saying going in to Texas Ohio State that this was the de facto national championship. Think like 1990s NFC championship games. Carter, I want to know just to start with, and then I want to talk more about the game itself. Is that the way you felt going in, or are you looking at Notre Dame, Ohio State being like, no, I think these are the teams?
Can it be both? Because I did think the Texas and Ohio State were the two best teams left in the playoff at that point, but I am continually impressed by Notre Dame and what they've done. The way they physically just shut Georgia down. I know Georgia was down their starting quarterback, but the way they physically matched up with Georgia that entire game, and then to fall down to Penn State by double digits and claw your way back and win with your defense at the end of that game, you can say Penn State's play calling might have been problematic at the end of the Orange Bowl. I thought Notre Dame's was too. They were both throwing the ball way too much at the end of that game for my liking, but Notre Dame was the one that made the play at the end. And I am, like I said, I've just been continually impressed with what they've done, how they've beaten the teams they've beaten. And they're an 8.5-point underdog last I saw. I think that's appropriate, but I might pick them to cover. I actually think this is going to be a closer game than people realize, especially when you look at the Cotton Bowl, where Ohio State's offense was shut down for a lot of that game by a very good Texas secondary. And what does Notre Dame have? A very good secondary.
By the way, maybe because of that, that spread is down to 8. So it's gone from 9.5 to 8 because it opened at 9.5, which was historically high. And the last two times, it was the only two ones in the college football playoff era that were higher than that. Both ended in just annihilations, including Georgia
and Georgia. TCU. And then I'm trying to think of what the
Alabama
other one
and Ohio State
in 2020.
Was the other one.
I have my quick question based off of the UT game where it's first and goal on the 1, I guess, after the penalty. It might've been on the 2, but
it was on the 1.
And they run the ball up the middle, nothing. And then the pitch play obviously just ruined them to get, I think he was tackled at the 6 or 7 yard line.
Yeah.
I get it. You live or die with the guy who brought you there, Quinn Ewers. Do you think on first and goal, if you bring in Arch Manning, there's another threat there that could help you out? Or I don't know. Like after you see,
it's that's a fair question.
It's hindsight, right? Because after the pitch play, you're like, oh my gosh. And then you're like, well, we know Quinn Ewers is like a 40-year-old man in a 21-year-old body. So,
what in terms of mobility, right?
God, he can't move to save his life. Yeah. Obviously, the last play that mattered, I get everybody was probably covered, but he gives you, he can't provide one extra second of time because he just can't get away from any human being who's athletic.
No.
So, do you think that, like, looking back at it, do you think that they go, gosh, maybe we should have used Arch Manning on goal line situations just to add the threat of the quarterback moving?
Well, and then if I have it right, they used Arch once in this game, and that was on a fourth down play where Arch picked it up and he got hit in the back of the head. I thought it was targeting on Arch on that. It looked like the crown of the Ohio State defender's helmet went straight in the back of Arch's helmet, and he could have been concussed on that just watching it in real time. So I wonder if there's an injury thing there, but yeah, sure. In that scenario, we saw him do it against A&M, right? You know, yes. He had that long run or the quick run for the touchdown, and UT just decided to not ever do that again. I think they could have even run a sneak with Ewers. They just, you know, line a bunch of guys up behind him and just push. But yeah, the pitch play was very ill-advised. It gave me very Jason Garrett vibes, especially in the stadium that it was happening in. But yeah, they had six plays from the one-yard line, and Ohio State scored on that. That is just insane to me.
Now, let's go to cut number six, because this has been a big talking point all year. This player was the big talking point coming out of this game.
Ewers steps up down the middle. It's intercepted. Caleb Downs has got it, and he'll just take a seat at the 41, and Ohio State can start plotting for Notre Dame.
What to do with Quinn Ewers? I think everybody knows that it's now the Arch Manning show, and perhaps that's why it's reflected that Texas is the favorite to win next year's college football national championship. But does Quinn Ewers, and I know what he said, I'm probably just going to go to the draft. Do you think that's a wise move, or do you think for his own draft stock and to potentially put another $10 million in his pocket or whatever the number is, he should go to another college?
I would think he should stay in school. I don't think anyone, I think with Ewers, you know, coming out of high school as the highest rated quarterback recruit ever.
Yeah.
He's always had this level of scrutiny given to him, and people just expected a lot more than what he's given. And it's amazing what he's given to Texas has been leagues better than anything they've gotten over the last 15 years.
For
and
sure.
He still gets torn apart. That's the crazy thing to me is I'm like,
like Texas fans hate him.
Do you want Sam Ellinger back? Do you want Shane Buechele, Tyrone Swoops?
Hey! Like,
it's Buechele.
Buechele. My bad. But do you want him playing quarterback again? I don't think you do. So watching what Ewers has done for Texas for 3 years is excellent. Like, he's going to go down as probably a top five quarterback in the program's history. But yeah, he just gets shredded. But just on terms of him with his NFL potential, I think he needs another year. You saw Carson Beck with Georgia declare for the draft after he, you know, tore his UCL and couldn't play in the playoff, and then realized that, oh, my grade is a fourth or fifth round grade, and I can go to Miami and make $4 million.
And there is word that it could be worth up to as much as $10 million. And that's why I use that specific number with Quinn Ewers, because I kind of think of them, they're not the same player, but I kind of lump them together.
And as Mike, you know, the more teams you play with at a certain level, the more people you'll know at the pro level that'll support you. So he'll have more teammates. He's like, yeah, I played with that guy and that guy and that guy.
So you're viewing this from an actual job. Yeah.
Where do you think is the perfect fit for Quinn Ewers in college football next year?
Houston.
Oh, they just picked up Connor Wegman, so they already got their starter for next year.
They're gonna lose
they lost this year. Any of the big schools, I think, make a lot of sense. Notre Dame is gonna lose Riley Leonard. North Carolina, I know, has been bandied about. Alabama's losing Jalen Milroe. I'm not exactly sure who they have behind him.
Okay,
so I think any of the big schools would make sense.
And he is a good, to your point, I need to make sure I make this point, because I'm sure there's plenty of Southlake people who are like, I hate Bassick.
Right.
I get it. I think he is a good college quarterback. I think he's super limited in pro prospect status. So I do think totally all agree. The schools you're naming, they could benefit from a Quinn Ewers, who is a good college quarterback.
Well, and just think, in the Cotton Bowl, he was the one that got them down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
He was the one that got them there. Then that's when something I've been saying all season, all of Sark's tenure at UT, is when he gets into the red zone, his play calling gets stupid with that little toss to the side. Something like that'll set you back. And then obviously the fumble return for the touchdown happens. So, but yours is the one, and he did it in the Peach Bowl too. He got them down to the 15-yard line like twice, and then the kicker missed two field goals. That's not yours' fault.
That's true. Man, it is interesting how that could change the perspective on a play that he had nothing to do with. Now, I know normally the Pop-Tart Bowl is the highlight of the non-playoff bowl season, but Carter, were we looking into the future when we saw the Cheez-It Bowl? Because there is a couple that got married on a trailer doing laps around the Camping World Stadium field with Ched Z, the Cheez-It, as its witness. Do you envision a scenario in which you get married with some sort of college mascot potentially as the witness to this marriage?
I feel like that's a business proposal that I don't need to talk about on air because I want to keep that to myself to just, you know, have these mascots go to these things. I think my favorite thing about the, because it was the Citrus Bowl, right?
Yes.
It was the Cheez-It Citrus Correct. Bowl. The Pop-Tarts Bowl used to be just the Cheez-It Bowl because then they had Prince Chedward, the mascot, running around there, who we haven't seen since they've changed mascots.
What are your thoughts?
That's all happening in Orlando. All these things are happening in Florida. It's so fitting. I love it.
Gosh. Where's Prince Chedward?
I need to know. He's disappeared. It's been 2 years. Oh, you lost the last Cheez-It Bowl, and he's been gone ever since.
Yeah.
I need to know.
I will say, though, like, if you want to make fun of anybody for having a wedding like that, like, weddings are built the way you want them. You know, it's your wedding.
Oh, I think it's incredible.
Have a lightsaber fight at your wedding if you
want
to.
That is exactly what we did.
Have a donut wall during COVID.
Also what we did.
But that being said,
it was during the okay COVID part.
I like those ideas. If you're going to do something like that, that's fine. Prince, I can't believe you said Prince Chedward.
Prince Chedward. He's been missing.
I want
missing
you to type into your Google search, where is Prince Chedward?
I don't want to get red flagged.
That's what I don't want. A majestic looking block of cheese.
Yeah.
I love cheese.
Thank you very much, Carter. Obviously, we'll catch up with you again later in the week.
Sounds good.
Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Let's talk Rams, Vikings, plus should this playoff change be made next on The Fan.